Good evening.
Good evening.
So, last month we spent time on thoughts and feelings and emotions so that you knew to use those when you're doing your treatment work. You must get a feeling. Ernest Holmes always talks about feelings. Emmett Fox talked about feelings. Most metaphysicians talk about feelings. But it's left out for some reason because people think that they already know it. The person who's doing it thinks that the people they're talking to already realizes how important feelings are. But I have discovered that that is not necessarily so, because this is called science of mind, and it's also change your mind, change your life. We talk about thoughts a lot, and we think it's very important to have the correct thought, which is true. Absolutely, if that is true. But you must have a feeling behind that thought. You must feel something. That is why people do not make demonstrations, because they have a lack of feeling. They are staying in their head. And you must drop this down to your heart. It's only when the head and the heart relate with each other that you have a demonstration in your life. And you'll hear me say many times, the life of the organism is feelings. So that was last month. So this, and also we had given up the idea of talking about race mind. So we're not going to do that, since everyone realizes now what race mind is. But what I'm going to institute instead is wonderful moments that we find in our lives and in the world out there pertaining to ourselves and to other people. And I have a wonderful one today. Today I was at the post office mailing something, and I got in line, long line, and another man came right in and went right to a window. The man in front of the line said, "Fool! Fool!" Finally the man looked over at him and he said, "Don't you see a line here? Get in line." The man said to him, "That is for mail. I am getting a money order. This window is for money orders only." Then he was called to the window. So we went through the whole system. Then I was called to the window, and I was thinking to myself the whole time, wasn't that an awful thing for that man to do? To call, first of all, the man a fool, and then to realize that he was wrong. So I was at my window, and I was thinking about that, and I thought, an apology would be nice here. When I went out of the post office, the two men were talking to each other, and the man was apologizing. He was apologizing to the other man. And I walked by, and my mind said, "Dallas, you should compliment him on that." But I kept on walking. When I got to my car, the man came down the steps and was walking by me, and I said, "You know, I want to compliment you on that. I thought that was wonderful what you just did." I said, "To apologize like that." And he said, "I was wrong." And he said, "You know, I have to apologize when I'm wrong." And I said, "You have made my day." And he said, "Well, pass that on. Pass that on." Now, isn't that wonderful?
Wow.
The problem that we have as human beings, we hate to admit that we're wrong. We hate to apologize. And that man could have left that whole incident go by. First of all, to call another person a fool. And the thing here which struck me the most was when the man turned, this side of his face was discolored. He had, you know, skin discoloration. So he could have thought to himself, "Oh, he's picking on me because of this skin color." But we are afraid to say we're wrong. As human beings, we just hate to admit that we're wrong. And we're wrong many times. And what makes us wrong many times, and what made that man wrong many times today, we have misinformation. He had misinformation. He thought the man was doing something wrong. The man was doing everything correctly. But he, because he was in line, he wanted everybody else to be in line. And he did not have the information that that window was for money orders only. We do that in our lives. We make big statements. We get ourselves into trouble all the time because we do not have the correct information. So what I'm saying is, see if you have the correct information before you engage in these different things. You see? You'll save yourself and the other person a great deal of anguish and so forth. It just, we're always jumping the gun. We think that we're right immediately, that we know. And we usually don't know. In hindsight, as soon as we get the correct information, now we know that we're wrong. But most people will not apologize. They will not back up and say, I am sorry. I am sorry. I was wrong. We have to be big enough to be able to say we're wrong. And I thought that man, and if you'd have seen this man, he looked like the type, and here's my judgment, he looked like the type that would have never done that, that would have never apologized. And I thought that was a wonderful moment, being human. And that's what we're here for. We're here to be human. We're here to do nice things for people. So now, what did that also tell us about that man? He knew that he was worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that he mattered. And he then, when he apologized, he made the other person feel that they were worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that they mattered. Because if they had walked away from that without apologizing and all, both of them would have felt that they didn't matter, or that the situation didn't matter, that it was too small to mean anything. It's always the small things that mean the most. It's always the small things that mean the most. Relationships and things that fall apart, we always think fall apart because of something big. They fall apart because of small things that add up to something big. So when you're in life, one of the things to do with this idea of saying, I apologize, I was wrong, it keeps you current. And you have to remain current in your life. If you don't remain current, that will plague you. And if those two would have not have resolved that through the apology, those men would be still thinking about that. And when you're still thinking about something, you are not current. We say this all the time. Learn to live in the now. Learn to live in this moment and this moment only. And the difficulty with that is because you're not current, or we're not current. We're always trying to clean up something in the past. I shouldn't have done that. That shouldn't have happened. So you're not current. And you have to be current. So clean up your mess every time. Clean up your mess. You'll feel better about yourself. You will feel better about yourself. So that goes right back again to the life of the organism is feelings. The life of the organism is feelings. How are you feeling about yourself? How are you feeling about yourself? You see, that man who apologized can go home tonight and feel good about himself. If he didn't apologize, that stays with you. And then it starts to collect other things. And before long, you're not a nice person anymore. You're just not a nice person. Now, we love to blame somebody else for doing that, or the world for doing that. We cannot blame anybody. Remember, it's a mental world that you're living in. And you are creating that mental world, and you're doing that with your thinking. It's always going to boil down to what you are thinking and what you are thinking about yourself. What are you thinking about yourself? So when you apologize, when you stay current, then you can say, I am worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that I matter. And you make the other person feel that way also. So, wonderful lesson. So we're going to look for more of those wonderful things out there in life. I have a friend on her business card. She says, it says, life is wonderful. Business is great. Life is wonderful. Business is great. And people, no, it must be people are wonderful. Business is great. And something. Anyway, it goes down the line. And that's what we have to remember. That life is wonderful. People are great. Business is great. Things are great out there in the world. And not listen to what the world is saying. So when you see little things like that, those little acts, notice them, remember them, and know that that's what life is all about. Not all that nasty other stuff that's always going on outside. Because we do not need that. We do not need that. Okay, the other thing, at least we forget, this class is always going to be titled Prosperity and Abundance, Including Money. We're going to talk about money. From now on, we're going to do an affirmation a week that will pertain to money so that we do have this prosperity consciousness and this consciousness of abundance so that we never forget that. But in order to have abundance in your life, have prosperity in your life, and money, you always have to go back to how are you feeling about yourself. Do you know that you're worthy and deserving of money? Do you know that you're totally lovable? And do you know that you matter enough to have money in your life? Once you know that, money comes into your life. It just comes into your life. I want to do some things here about money. This one I particularly like. Money is like an iron ring we put through our nose. It is now leading us around wherever it wants. We just forgot that we are the ones who designed it. Think of it. That's what money does to you. It leads you around all the time. Money is like an iron ring we put through our nose. It is now leading us around wherever it wants. We just forgot that we are the ones who designed it. Money is a tremendous force. The way you earn your money, accumulate it, and spend it determines whether your money will be a force that creates good or doesn't create good for you or others. You have to remember that money is a tremendous force. And how are you using it? What are you doing? Are you using money for good in your life and good in other people's lives? And the affirmation for the week is, I focus on what I love and thus draw it to me. So focus on money. Love money. Don't be afraid of money. And give up that idea that money is the root of all evil, and become a root lover. I love it. There's nothing wrong with money whatsoever. It's what you do with money. So, don't let money lead you around by the nose. Learn to control money. Learn to control your thoughts about money. And learn to control what you do with money. Because money is one of the biggies out there in life. It's just one of the biggies. And you have to learn how to master it. And we each master it individually, by the way. You can come to this class, you can go to Reva's class about money, you can go to Susie Orman, you can go to all these people about money. But then you have to individually decide what you want money to do for you. And when you decide what you want money to do for you, money will do that. But most people are accumulating money because they think everyone else is accumulating money. You see? And they're just following other people. So make money do what you want it to do. You see? Remember, you're an individualized expression of this thing that we call God. So your money is an individualized expression of you. And we're each going to learn how to do money differently. But make it work the way you want it to work. So that you have enough money in your life that you never have to stress out about it. That it doesn't become a stressor in your life. And for most people, money is a stressor in their lives because people think that they do not have enough. And they do not know how to handle money. And they do not know how to handle money because they do not think they're worthy enough to handle it. And if they say, well, I don't know anything about money, I never learned anything about money, actually, that doesn't help. That they do not love themselves. You see, if you love yourself, find out about it. It is not difficult. Money is not difficult. We make money difficult. And we think, oh, it's so difficult and it's so hard to acquire. It's not hard in your life. Give that idea up that money is hard to acquire. There's money all over the place out there. There's money all over the place. We just think that it's hard to acquire it. We've been brought up that way. We were brought up that money doesn't grow on trees. Who do you think you are? The Rockefellers. All those old things. Get them out of your consciousness. Start building your own money consciousness. Most of us have adopted somebody else's money consciousness. And we've usually adopted our parents' money consciousness. We just took that right in and said, oh, that's the way it is. We do that, you know, with religion, and we do that with politics. But we do that with money also, and we just absorb that instead of sitting down and saying, I can figure money out. I am not afraid of money. You see, most people are afraid of money. They don't know what the interest rates are. They don't know what this is. They don't know what that is. And they don't even bother to try to understand money. Learn money. Learn it. You can get a book and learn money. Go to one of Reva's classes and learn money. But learn money. Don't make it an excuse in your life, which I hear many people say, I've never been able to handle money. I've just never been able to handle money. You know, money goes right through my fingers. I hear that constantly with people. I have people that come to this class, and they say to me, well, I don't have the money. I don't have the money. Don't ever use that term, that you don't have money. You must know that money is always freely circulating in your life, that you always have a divine surplus, and at the present moment, the fact is that it may not be doing that for you, but you say, at the present moment, I choose not to do something. Not, I do not have the money to do it. Money is never the issue in your life. It should never be the issue in your life. If money isn't doing something in your life, it's not because there's no money out there. It's not because you cannot make money. It's because you haven't changed your mind about yourself. You haven't said to yourself, I am worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that I matter. And because I know these things, money must come to me. Money must come to me. A good job must be available for me so that I can have the things that I want. That's done mentally. It's done inside your own thinking. Nothing is going on the outside of the world, people. Only going on in your thinking. This is a mental world. So, you have to start with, what am I thinking about money? And what am I thinking about myself? What am I thinking about myself? once you get that down, once you know that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter, money will flow into your life. So with that, let's do the matter thing.
I really, really matter.
So let's talk one moment about going back to manifesting and so forth. And here is a wonderful thing that Reba sent me this morning. And it is no use to desire a thing unless you expect to get it. Either in part or full, desire will put you in touch with the inner world of causes and connect you by invisible means with the substance of the thing desired. Then conscious expectation is necessary to bring it into a reality in your life. Conscious expectation. You have to remain conscious of what you want. People do affirmations or they do treatment work. And you'll ask them the next day, what did you treat for? They cannot remember. Sometimes in an hour, people cannot remember what they asked for. Conscious expectation. You must keep that consciously in mind what you want. I want money. I want large sums of money. You have to remember that all day long. But we get busy and we forget. And a year goes by and we don't get what we want. It has to be with expectation, conscious expectation. So do that. And it is no use to desire a thing unless you expect to get it. Why would you want to desire something if you didn't expect to get it? That's a little trick that the mind loves to do to you. You cannot desire something. You cannot want something unless it's available to you. If a desire comes into your mind, it comes into your mind because it is already done. It is already done in this thing that we call the mind of God. This thing that we call God is not a cruel God. It is not a vengeful God. Give that idea up. It is not a vengeful God. That idea of a vengeful God is pre-Christian. It's a pagan God. We do not worship a pagan God. We do not believe in a pagan God. This has been around for at least 5,000 years, the idea that God does not punish, that God does not withhold, that God is always giving. But in human consciousness, through the eons, it has been passed down, the idea of a vengeful God. And it's not true. It was developed through old ideas of God. And we keep using that. Don't do that to yourselves. Know that this thing that we call God is a loving, caring, sharing God. And it is always working through you. So that when you get a desire, that's a desire of God coming through you. And you're not going to get that desire unless it is obtainable. Unless it is obtainable. And we were told as children what? Don't hope for too much. Don't desire too much. because you may not get it. I am telling you, desire what you want. Have expectations of getting that. And know that this thing that we call God is working on that right here and right now. And you keep the expectation. You keep the vision in front of you. And you will get what you want. Your life will change. You will have it. And yes, you'll come up against stumbling blocks. You'll come up against everything. But you have to keep the expectation. And if you keep the expectation, you will get what you want. Anybody that succeeded in life because they had a goal, they had an expectation, and they had a vision in front of them. And regardless how many times they were knocked off track, they got back onto track and kept going. And they reached the destination that they wanted. They reached the destination that they wanted. Many people, when they're knocked off track, they see it doesn't work. And they immediately give up. Well, I didn't get the 100,000 this year, so therefore, I'm never going to get the 100,000. No, you didn't get it this year. That's all. But you're working towards that all the time. You're always working towards what you want. Don't give that up in your life. All the things that are necessary are now coming into place to make that desire come true. All the things are there to do it. You have to keep that expectation. You have to do that. That's the one thing that we have to do. And people burn out too easily. They give up too easily. Don't give up. Never, 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 never give up. Keep on going and you will get to where you want to go. Very simple. But it requires that expectation. And that's from a wonderful book called Working with the Law. Now, here's a wonderful treatment. And it's called I Am in Touch with the Source. The power of divine intelligence fills the universe. It pours itself into me and acts through me with spiritual intention. I move to the flow of love and inspiration. I am uniquely individualized in the mind of God. Everything I need is in the present, right here, before my eyes. I merge with the mind of God and allow exactly the right ideas and actions to flow through me. All avenues of prosperity are open to me now. Financial ease, meaningful and loving relationships, tremendous vitality, flexibility, and exuberant health, and abundant ideas to realize each and every desire. I let go of anything that might stand in the way of my connection with Source. I know the inspiration is with me now, and I follow my own intuition. For God lives in me, through me, and as me. It is with grateful thanks that I accept my good right here, right now. I release my word to the great power that surrounds me, knowing it is already so, allowing it to be so, and so it is. Wonderful, wonderful treatment there. Has every step in it that you need to unite, to do something. But underneath that, you need the feeling, the emotion, and the thought. You have to know that you're worthy of what the treatment just said. So when you do your treatment work, before and after, sit a moment and realize not only that you're a wonderful human, that you're connected to this thing called God, but you are worthy and deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. Do that before and after your treatment. You So you can do treatment work and have every step exactly right. And I hear this, but I do it correctly. But I do it correctly. Yes, you did it absolutely correctly. And it sounded absolutely wonderful. But did you feel anything? Did you feel anything when you did it? You must feel something. Otherwise, it's just hollow. It goes nowhere and it does nothing. But you put feeling behind it and it zooms to where it's supposed to go. We're afraid to use feeling. We're afraid to use feeling. When I was doing treatment work, when I was studying to be a minister, Raymond Charles Barker came to one of the classes and I did a treatment in front of him. And he said, that was wonderful, but you must do it louder and with more feeling, Dallas. You must do it louder and with more feeling. So pack feeling into what you're doing. Pack feeling into what you're doing. With your affirmations and with your treatment work. So when I do the affirmation, money is always freely circulating in my life, and I always have a divine surplus. I not only say that, I feel that in every fiber of my being, but I also visually see that, and I see money constantly floating around, constantly floating around me, constantly in circulation. And then I also see a divine surplus. I also see the divine surplus. So we're not just doing idle words all the time. It may make you feel good to be able to do that. I know some people are very eloquent when they do a treatment and they think, oh, boy, that really worked. I really impressed myself. I impressed God and it's going to work. Well, first of all, you're never going to impress God. God is beyond being impressed people. Give that idea up that you think you can impress this thing that we call God. That was the ego. Most people's big ego is coming up and they go, well, oh, wasn't that marvelous? Look at that. Boy, the English was correct and everything else in there. Well, first of all, God does not speak English. So God is not going to know if the English is correct or not. The only thing God is going to know is, was the feeling there? Was the feeling correct? Now, I know that that's true because the hairs on my arms stand up whenever I tell the truth. So, go to that feeling. Don't be afraid of that feeling. How will it feel? How will it feel? That's how you're going to demonstrate. All right. Tonight's topic is unnecessary. Not that the topic's unnecessary. There are so many things in our life that are unnecessary. But one of the main things in life that is unnecessary is the unnecessary thinking that we are doing all the time. We have to be able to become a witness to our own thinking, and we have to be able to stop that thinking. What do I mean by unnecessary thinking? Most of the things that people worry about and think about all day long never come true. They never become reality. They have proven that 99% of what people worry about never comes to pass. It never comes to pass. Your mind is always going to be thinking. It is always going to be throwing something up in front of you. It's always going to be judging. And it's always going to be the naughty little boy or the naughty little girl inside of you thinking something up. You have to recognize that and be able to stop it. Remember, you must learn to think the thoughts that you want to think and feel the feelings that you want to feel and not allow your mind to do that for it to you. All right, here's an example. Several years ago, a friend of mine gave me a set of dishes. And about 8 months ago, I hadn't seen her in at least 4 years. She called and said, oh, well, I'm in town. I'd like to come by and see you and say hello. We haven't seen each other.
As soon as she got there, she said, I want those dishes back.
Now, I could have said, no, you're not getting them back. I sold them. I broke them all. They're smashed. Or I could have done all that kind of stuff. I could have made a big fuss, and I said, douse her any dishes. Give them back to her. I gave them back to her. You'd think that was the end of it. Oh, no, that's never the end of it, because now my mind said, well, you could have done this. You should have done that. You could have thrown them out. You could have done this to us. She was a hateful, mean person. Now, the dishes are already gone. But now my mind's telling me all these things, bringing up all these scenarios, telling me, well, she never was a friend of yours. This didn't get a blah, da, 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 da. That's unnecessary thinking. It's a complete waste. Complete waste. And we do that constantly. We do that constantly when we're in our car and we yell at the other driver. And then we make up a big story about that other driver. And we go through this whole big thing. Absolutely unnecessary. Absolutely unnecessary. With this dish deal, I waited to see how long it would take my mind to finally stop doing it. And I'm going to tell you, it took months. And for there for a while, for the first 2 weeks after it happened, my mind came up with at least 600 different scenarios on what I should have done, could have done, what would have happened with the whole thing. We're wasting our lives with unnecessary thinking. We're wasting our lives with unnecessary thinking. And we love to do that to ourselves, don't we? We love to do that. In business, people do that all the time. Well, if the deal falls apart, then da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But as soon as that scenario is over, the next one comes up. And then what happened? The deal was back together and it closed. Now, what did all these stories? They meant nothing. They went nowhere. They were an absolute waste of time. An absolute waste of your time. You see? How many people in relationships do that? The person doesn't come home at night. Oh, my, they're in the hospital. Oh, they're with somebody else. Oh, they're this. Oh my. This, oh, ah, ooh, ooh, ah. Then the person walks through the door and says, had a flat tire. All that other stuff was completely unnecessary. It was completely unnecessary. Here again, our mind works with misinformation all the time. And it fills in things all the time for us. So always go and see if you can't find the correct information before you, we used to call it, go off the handle, wasn't it? Fly off the handle. You'll fly off the handle. I don't know what that ever meant. I think it was a hammerhead flew off the handle. And they used to do work with it. That's the only thing I could ever think about. But we do. We fly off the handle all the time with unnecessary thinking. So, watch your thinking, you see. It's a mental world. You are creating your world with your mind. You are creating a situation with your mind. If you're in anguish, if you're suffering from anxiety, it's all the mind doing that. Depression's doing that. It's done with your thinking. You're not controlling your thinking. And you're allowing your mind to tell you all these stories. And that's one of the biggest problems, is we're telling ourselves a story all the time. Not only are we living a story all the time, we're telling ourselves a story all the time. So you have to be able to step back and see what your mind is doing to you and make it stop. Make it stop. And I will assure you, sometimes it's not easy. I know it took me at least 8 months to get over the dish situation. Mm-hmm. At least. Every time I thought it was done, as soon as I would sit down and have a quiet moment, right back in, it would start again. I go, oh, where did that come from? I thought you had gone. I have to get clear it out again.
You just have to keep clearing it out. But it'll drive you absolutely, absolutely up a wall. And it'll make you very, very spiteful and mean and hateful. Because one scenario, you know, this woman turned into a pig and everything else. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. But it's unnecessary. It is absolutely unnecessary. Most of your thinking is unnecessary. Now, let's apply that to this idea of money. Most of the things you think about money is unnecessary. Because most of the time you're thinking, I do not have enough money. I'm going to live under the bridge. I am going to become a bag. This is going to happen to me and that's going to happen to me. Now, how many people do you know that live under the bridge? I don't know anybody that lives under the bridge. Well, you may know one, but that's about me. I don't know any. So it's a rarity. It's a rarity. And you must realize that the people who are doing that, regardless of what the world tells you, that they did not bring it on themselves, they did bring it on themselves. And I'm not being cruel when I say that. You cannot be in metaphysics and say, oh yes, metaphysics works, except in that case, they didn't have a choice. We always have a choice in life. That's what life is all about, is choosing. Those people, what do you think those people that live under the bridge, who beg for money and so forth, what do you think they don't know? Yes, absolutely. If they knew those four things, and if those four things were taught, we wouldn't have people living under the bridge. We wouldn't have people in prison. We would not. Because if you knew those things, you wouldn't go out and do these crimes and so forth. But because you think life isn't worth it, people aren't worth it, and I'm not worth it, and it's all going to end anyway, why not go ahead and do this? Why not go ahead and do this? So if you're around children, your children know this. Teach children that. Remember, it was Emmett Fox who said, if you're going to teach children anything, teach them that this is a mental world that we live in. That this is a mental world and it's done with your thinking. And Paul said, with all you're getting, get understanding. Get understanding of who you are. Get understanding of the way the world works. Get understanding the way your mind works. But we go off on these things and we get all these degrees and we go to college and we learn all this stuff. And regardless of how much education you have, you're still going to suffer mentally if you don't know that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. All the education in the world will not erase that. All the money in the world will not erase that. Now, if you're looking at it from a psychological point of view, psychiatrists will immediately tell you that people who strive for more money and for more fame and for more this, it's because they're covering up the lack within inside of them, the lack of self, the lack that they don't know that they're worthy, deserving, and totally lovable and that they matter. So they cover it up with all that other stuff. And we paste that up for the world to see. We paste that up for the world to see. And we think, that's exactly the way the world is. Now, I grew up watching television. We got our first television set in 1949. I had just started first grade. And lo and behold, who was on there? Lucille Ball and Des Arnaz. And to the world, they were the world's sweethearts. And they were just wonderful people. And this, that. So we got this image of how wonderful they were. But they weren't. But they weren't. They were miserable. Their marriage fell apart. Everything was wrong. But they kept betraying something else. They kept betraying something else. So don't betray something in your life. Be something in your life. You see, people want to portray that they're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that they matter. But they're not being it. There's a difference. See, you can portray. How many people do you know that portray, oh, I'm so kind and generous. And they're only portraying that. They are not that way at all. They are not that way at all. So don't portray things. Become things. That's the whole idea in life. You have to become the person that you want to be. And you can become any person that you want. That's the choice that you have. So if you want to become a successful person, you have to say to yourself, I am already successful. Then you have to start being successful. You have to start doing something about that. You have to become. Many times I have said, you must become your demonstration. You have to become the demonstration itself. You just don't do a demonstration and think, oh, now that's done. You have to start living up to that demonstration. You have to start doing something about that demonstration. You can't say to yourself, oh, I'm going to save money someday. You have to say, I'm saving money. And then you start to save money, even if it's one penny. Even if it's one penny. And you'll be surprised. Your mind will pick up on that. This thing that we call God will pick up on that. And that will start happening. You will start to become that. You see? Your words have power. Your words have power. What are you saying to yourself? That's what it means. Your words have power. Florence Shin, who was a very famous metaphysician, always into prosperity and abundance, wrote a book called Your Word is Your Wand. Your word is your wand, because your word goes out and does something and it returns to you. The same way that your thoughts go out and do something. So we learn to correct our thinking, we learn to correct our words. But we learn to say nice things about ourselves. That's what it means. Always, what are you saying about yourself? There's an old saying, don't talk to the world. Talk to yourself. Because you are the world. You are everything. And you're the only one that you can correct. You're the only one that you can change. You cannot change the world. People want to go out and change the world. Has the world changed since these people have been out there? Has it tons of money going in to every place? We have more charities going on. We have more what's called Feed the Hungry and Hungry programs. Billions of dollars go in to feed the children, to correct hunger in the world. Is hunger corrected in the world? No. It is not corrected in the world. Because you're doing something, do something within your own self. Start seeing the world not hungry. Start seeing everyone in the world fed. You see, you cannot do that to yourself. You cannot say, I'm going out there and feed all the hungry people. What are you saying? There are hungry people out there. You're saying there are hungry people out there, and you keep getting more hungry people. If you say everyone in the world is fed, everyone in the world is nourished, this is an abundant planet that we live on, this thing that we call God supplies to everybody, now you can do something. You can do something about that. You see? But till then, you can't. How many more bracelets can you wear up and down your arm to remind you of something? It was getting so ridiculous there for a while. It started with ribbons. I thought, well, after a while, I just gave up on ribbons because they went from red to pink to white to yellow to green to molly colors. And I thought, I don't know. So you can't do that anymore. Your mind just shuts down. Ribbon. Doesn't mean a thing. Doesn't mean a thing to you anymore. You see. Now, then they started with braces. Oh, okay, now we'll give you braces. And this bracelet's for breast cancer, and this one's for AIDS, and this one's for this, and this one's for that, and this and that, and that, and that, and that. Well, you'd have them up your arm, you wouldn't be able to bend your arm. But has anything changed? Has anything changed? No. But we think, oh, isn't that great? We're going to buy another bracelet. I don't own a bracelet. I don't own a ribbon. I have never marched in any parades whatsoever. I have never marched in a parade whatsoever. I won't march in those things. People say, why don't you go to the gay pride parade now? Well, when they make it a human pride parade, I will go. I will go. You see, that doesn't help to do that. Gay people want to be incorporated in with mainstream people. Why? I'll have no idea whatsoever. But they want to be that. But they then separate themselves and say, no, we're having a parade of our own. So we're separating ourselves once again. You see, you can't do that. You can't say, I'm marching for breast cancer. What are you going to get? You're going to get breast cancer. Why don't we march for perfect health in every human being? You see? That's how you get things accomplished. You have to change your thinking about it. So most of the things that we think about are unnecessary. And most of the things that we think about are handed to us from that world outside, which everyone else is doing that, so we think, oh, well, that's normal. But I'm telling you that it's not normal. You have to stay at home within your own consciousness, within your own mind. You have to talk to yourself. And you have to figure out what is best for me. What is best for me? But watch how your mind is talking to you. Look at the scenarios that it's throwing up. And some of them are absolutely laughable. But people think that that's normal. It's not normal. It's a downright habit that we have. And we have to break that habit. We can control this mind of ours. When we say that you're becoming a witness to your own thinking, you know right there that you're not your mind. If you can think of your own mind thinking, which you can catch a thought, can't you? When you're thinking, you can catch that thought. Well, if you can catch that thought, that means you're not your mind. So you have to be a witness to your own thinking, and the thing that just caught that was the witness. So you have to remember that. But what happens is, we convince ourselves that our mind is us. The mind is not you at all. It's just a big thing here that's the tool to be able to use. But you have to be able to use it correctly. That's all. It's so easy. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Once you realize that, the mind is what is making you happy or unhappy. The mind is what's making you wealthy or not wealthy. The mind, your mind, not the mind of God, your mind, is doing everything to you that you have in your life. And you have to remember that and not blame. Look out and see and know what? I can change this. I can change my thinking. And you start to change your thinking because you are not your mind. You never were, you never will be. But it loves to convince you that that is who you are. So, don't allow your mind to convince you of that. Learn to hear the unnecessary thinking. You can call it mind chatter if you wish. And don't participate in it. Don't participate in it. You'll find that your life will run much smoother and much easier than that. And then every day, get up and know that you are a success, that business is great, that people are wonderful, that life is marvelous, and that your life in particular is marvelous. And learn to love yourself. And learn to see that in yourself. And you'll find all the difference in the world. All the difference in the world. The other night, and I've had this thought many times, and we're going to add it to every class. And it's this. We talk about the now all the time, and to be able to stay in the now. So at nighttime, when you're getting ready for bed, and you're emptying your pockets and putting your stuff away, you must empty your mind also of that day. And you must give yourself thanks for that day. And realize that you did the very best that you knew how to do that day. And that tomorrow you'll do even better. And then that day does not come up again. Does not influence you. When you get up in the morning, you have a brand new start, a brand new day. The other day is gone. Completely gone. Wipe it from your consciousness. Don't drag it with you. Any hurts, hates, grudges, anything that went on that day, don't bring it in to your new day. That is the wonderful power that we have. We can let the day go. And we can start anew every day. So when you get up, say, ha, what a wonderful opportunity I have today to make this my perfect day. And then go about making it your perfect day. And then repeat that. That perfect day's gone. Now I'm going to make a new perfect day. Otherwise, you're not having a new perfect day. If you drag yesterday with you, it's not a new day. It's unnecessary. You're not living life. You're living yesterday. And to me, that's like eating leftovers. Don't do it to yourself. Release every day. That day is done. That day is gone. And let it go. You get up in the morning completely fresh to be able to start over. So you forgive yourself. Anything that you did during that day that wasn't correct, forgive yourself. But if you don't forgive yourself, you drag it into this, to the new day. You can't do anything about the past. You cannot change the past. You cannot go back to the past. You can only go back there in your memory. But you cannot visit it any other way. So, whatever happened in that day, that was a perfect day. That was a perfect day. My new day is going to be even more perfect. And when you keep doing that, you will have perfect day after perfect day after perfect day. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.